Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, and it's one of my favorite ones. I look forward to this every month.
So do I. We have our good friends from WIT, which is Women in Technology. We have back in the studio with us WIT Foundation Board President and Director of Business Development from Endava U.S., Ms. Denise Reese. Thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And we're going to get a chance to visit with the Executive Director for WIT, Ms. Sandy Welfare. Welcome to our humble abode.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Denise, you want to share a little bit about what you've been up to as you're still president of the WIT Foundation?
I am. I'm coming into my second and final term.
The home stretch here.
Yes, yeah. It's exciting, but it's also like, wow, it's going to be over soon. But it's been a great run. And coming into 2015, we've just finished up our strategic planning. And that took probably the better portion of last year to complete. But we've got some clear marching orders around what's going to be beneficial for us as an organization. And one of the key areas that we'll be focusing on is what we're calling 50-50 by 2020. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to make Georgia the state with the largest number of women in STEM careers in the country. And so
where do they rank now?
So globally, the number is around 26-27%. Mm-hmm. And you can slice and dice the numbers how you want to, but Georgia comes in slightly lower than that. But we're kind of going on the global average of around 26% of women. So there's a lot of work to do.
Right.
The benefit that we have here in Georgia is that we have so many technology organizations that are here, both tech companies that leverage technology to drive their business. You all probably have all heard all and read all of the articles that are out there about Atlanta in particular being, I think, number 6 now in the U.S., according to Forbes, as it relates to IT. So we're fortunate that we've got a great foundation here, but there's still quite a bit of work to be done.
And then, so you have your strategic plan?
We do. So we are now operating against that plan. It's going to take us into the next 5 years. And so in addition to our 50-50 by 2020 initiative, we're also undertaking a huge, very exciting rebranding effort. So we'll be talking more about that over the coming weeks and months, but very excited to really infuse a bit of just some excitement into the organization. And, you know, going through all of the creative side of what we put out into the public domain. So that's very, very exciting. And then one of the other areas that we focused on is previously WIT was under an association model. And so we had outsourced essentially all of our sort of daily operations. And we've made the decision to really bring that in-house, particularly because of the work that we have around 50-50 by 2020. And as an organization, we have grown exponentially over, I'd say, even the last 4 to 5 years. The number of strategic alliance partners has grown exponentially. The number of women that are going through our leadership development programs has really skyrocketed. And then the number of girls and college students that we're touching through Girls Get IT and WIT on Campus has also increased as well. So it made sense for us to really rethink our strategy and our direction and say, okay, well, maybe it's time for us to bring all of the operations in-house, hire a staff full time, and also make some changes at our executive director level as well.
And that brings us to our guest.
You like how I did that? That was a good segue,
that
right?
That was very nicely done. I'm impressed.
So welcome to the show, Sandy Welfare.
Thank you very much.
Can you share a little bit about what you've been up to prior to WIT?
So prior to WIT, this is like the perfect marriage for me because I'm coming from spending the last 5 years as executive director of Cool Girls. And prior to that, I ran global operations for financial operations. And so it's the marrying of the two.
There we go. Right?
As it relates to women in technology. So it's a perfect scenario for me to be in.
And then so when you had this opportunity now, did you have a vision prior to your strategic meeting or were you involved in that as well?
Not at all. I pretty much came at the tail end of it, but it was probably good for the board to work through what was going to be important for them and what the organization wanted to focus on. And so it's, for me, it's very good to see the the process of thinking and then be a part of the implementation. And so I think where we're going is very exciting, but at the same time, I don't think anyone around the table from a board perspective was quite surprised that we have, you know, some high level, you know, priorities for this year. And of course, me coming on board was part of that process. So
now, can you share for our listeners that aren't familiar with WIT, mission, purpose?
So Women in Technology is all about supporting from the classroom to the boardroom women who are in the STEM fields, so science, technology, engineering, and math. What we're finding is that we have to build the pipeline for the next generation of female leaders. And in order for us to do that, we have to touch upon the middle schoolers, high schoolers, college, and then the professional women. And as we've really honed in on being advocates and passionate about telling the stories of all these different women who are, you know, in fields of, you know, technology or in fields of science, it's really important for the next generation of girls to see those role models so that they can basically say, yes, I can definitely do that. I was sharing with Denise this morning, I met with someone who, you know, it's funny how past, you know, change, but she's with Junior League and pretty much wanted to talk about getting involved with Women in Technology so that she could, you know, tell her story of being in the medical field and being a medical physicist. I mean, it's amazing. She basically works with Piedmont Cancer, and that's an opportunity that I probably would have not thought about.
Right, you wouldn't have connected those dots.
Would not have connected the dots. And so it's really interesting to see how the technology and the science space is really combining technology, very much so.
Now, in terms of priorities, those are all, you know, big areas to take care of. How do you prioritize? Is it the younger generation? Is it to make as many connections with people that are already out there doing it? And, you know, how do you prioritize that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two, really. We're always looking to fill the pipeline, right? Because that's really the way that we're going to address the gap that exists.
So filling the pipeline means the younger generation.
Yes, absolutely. So getting as many girls and that's at the middle, high school, even elementary school level, interested in STEM careers and education opportunities, but then providing them with the outlet. So being able to see other women in technology or in STEM, being able to go and see how technology drives right. The day-to-day for a company. And also, Sandy, I think, kind of touched on this, recognizing that regardless of the industry that you're or what your interest is, so if you're interested in science as a girl, then there's a technology component for your interest in science. If you're interested in art, there's a technology component, right. Music, right? So there's a lot of technology around us in the studio here. So whatever your interest is, technology can actually fill a need within that industry.
And you want to connect them with actual people who are doing it. Not just theoretical or not have them read something.
Exactly.
Right. You want it to be as experiential as possible.
Most definitely. And we do behind the scenes events, both with our college students and our middle school girls to get them interested again in how technology drives the day to day for a company. We also do career exploration workshops. So inviting the girls to a panel event where you've got women from different industries, different phases of their careers so that they can ask questions. They can interact with them because oftentimes folks may say, okay, I'm going to be an engineer because mom and dad said I needed to be an engineer,
right.
Not because they've really been exposed to engineering.
Or they don't even know what engineering
exactly.
really is.
Exactly. It's
life,
like engineering,
right?
What is that, right?
Right?
So that gives them the opportunity to explore and to really get the exposure that they need to be able to make some informed decisions once they get to the point of choosing their major in college or university.
Because their peer group might not be as supportive.
Correct.
Because there might not be as many of them that have those interests, right?
Absolutely. And even with, I think, all of the strides that women have and are making in the STEM and technology space in particular, most of the time I'm still, if I go to a meeting and if there's a combination of folks from my company, Endava, or the client, sometimes I'm still the only woman in the room. So it's still happening. And that's, it just gives me the, it allows me to see firsthand the necessity for creating these opportunities. But then we also are always on the lookout for companies that want to partner with us, that want to sponsor events, that want to send their women through our career development programs. So it really is just a mixture of trying to marry the two.
Do you mind if we talk a little bit specifically about some of those initiatives? Like if a sure. company wanted to work with you, can you describe what that engagement looks like? Like even from go, like if they're even curious about it, what would be like that first meeting? What would that look like?
Absolutely.
You want to take a stab at that, Sandy?
For many of the companies, I think they're probably trying to look at the holistic view. How can we get our employees actively engaged? So we have a lot of volunteers that are pretty much looking for ways that they can connect to the community. But if I were to take a look at our strategic alliance partners, these would be companies who are going to give at a certain level. And so they're wanting to basically, you know, invest in women in technology.
So there's money investment.
So there's money investment.
Right.
Then they're also wanting to take the women, particularly those who are in the early stage and middle stage of their career, and invest in their professional development.
Right.
And so I would say that those two pieces, and there's also training for executive women, women who are wanting to get to that C-suite. But I would say that if we were to look at how a company can engage, we're looking at every aspect of how they can connect the dots to us.
So you want to meet with them, and then you want to kind of, you'll customize something that suits their needs?
Absolutely. It's pretty much a la carte. That's probably the best way to say it. They can pretty much pick and choose. I want to be involved in Careers in Action. I want to be involved in WIT Connect or the Woman of the Year, or I really just want to do Girls Get IT and WIT on Campus. So we're able to say, there's nothing here that's set in stone. You tell us what you want to do and how you want us to engage with your employees.
And it could be something where you help them develop some girls or women that aren't in technology in the firm, but maybe want to make to help them bridge into technology.
Absolutely. And I, coming from Cool Girls, so I'm, you know, I'm always looking at it truly from what's happening with girls and why do we not have more girls coming through college, really coming through high school and really focus on, you know, some of the STEM disciplines, and then looking at what's happening in college. We're seeing that unless we fill the pipeline, we're not going to get the end result. But at the end of the day, there's so much that's happening in middle school as to why a girl will either be good in math and science or will withdraw from being good in math and science.
So you're finding girls that are good at math and science, but for some reason there's
social reasons, all right?
They're like not kind of maximizing their skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think middle school is such a difficult scenario. Having a middle schooler who started this year myself, I can fully attest to that. But we're probably needing to just really dwell down into socially what is happening so that the empowerment of the girl continues through that middle school period. Because if she is good in science and math, continue on. I mean, I was one of those girls, you know, I was good in science and math, but then I was also the tallest kid in class. So it was easy for me to kind of move forward with confidence.
Right.
If a girl doesn't move forward with confidence, then she may leave it behind because she's going to feel as if either she's going to be picked on for being the smart kid or whatever the case may be in today's society. But we've got to find that level of engagement so that that math and science curriculum keeps her actively engaged,
right?
Because beyond today, the jobs that we're going to be talking about in 10 years are all going to be around something in technology.
Right. She's sabotaging her own career by not embracing her talents at that age.
Right. And it's not, and to be perfectly honest, I will have to say, having spent some time with women in technology, it is very unique and different in talking about the STEM disciplines, but we're really needing to fill all industry with more women in the various capacities because
we're across the board.
And so it doesn't matter the industry because we're finding that unless we're finding a pathway for them to basically be successful,
right?
Then, you know, because even once they get to, if we were to look at our women who are in professional careers now in technology, there's many of them who step out of it and don't come back. And so we've got to find ways to actively engage them to carry on and continue down the road, because that's going to help us look at changes in the way we do business. That's going to help us look at the dynamics of how we can build the infrastructure for a diverse group of employees.
And then one of the ways that they give back if they are working for one of these companies that you work with is to actually go and meet with the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And show them this is possible. This was my path. And my path, maybe it wasn't straight technology. Maybe it was kind of, I was in marketing and PR, and then I started working for a technology firm, and now I'm in technology. There's lots of ways to be in technology, right?
Right. And that's the key component of how we can tell the stories. And so if you were to look at, you know, my background is really, I just happen to be really good in math. And I went into kind of finance. But then when I figured out software could really change technology and how you, you know, could move data between Singapore. So I spent time in Singapore, time in Sydney, Australia, implementing, you know, financial operations around just that technology bit. So if I were to say what I have ended in that, no one could have told me that's where I would have ended.
No one would have predicted it.
Absolutely. Right? But when you're, when you have the foundation of what you're trying to do for any company or for any business, you build upon it.
And you have a lot more choices.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. I mean, the options are there, and then you've got to encourage those options for the girls to continue.
Now, did you have a mentor? Do you have a female mentor?
I have several, and I actually have male and female. Mm-hmm. But I will say that in today's time, it's really good when you can have a female to talk to, because you're really trying to discuss, here's where I'm at, here's where I'm trying to go, how can I get there? The funny thing about Denise and I, we were both in London at the very same time, although we didn't know each other at that time.
How about that?
And we worked in technology fields, and I would have loved to have someone to talk to, because sometimes your mentor is a peer.
Right.
And many times we are very much
and a
mentors
group,
to each other. Right. Absolutely. And so it is, I think, a key component for the mentoring piece, but that's what we're really trying to delve in the new capacity of how we're doing some of the careers and action programs.
Now, are there any programs for the woman that maybe steps out of the workforce to have a kid or something like that and wants to get back in? This might be a way to keep her connected to the business world and give back and to show and mentor these younger kids here. Are there any programs along those lines?
I would say Careers in Action is probably one of the best portals that we have to build that bridge between the person who's gone out for family decisions and then coming back.
Right.
When we had a conversation with Emory University, and that's to be unveiled at a later date, but when we had a conversation with them in terms of what kind of curriculum could we build upon, we did talk about that, you know, particular woman who goes into the workforce, stays there for, you know, 10, 15
kicking
years.
Butt and then makes a choice and says, look, I'm going to hit the pause button for a
little
bit. And then I'm going to, but my intentions are to come back at some point.
Absolutely.
And some of them feel overwhelmed or think like, look, I don't know what's going on. I don't know, that was 5 years ago.
Right.
I don't know what's happened today. Mm-hmm. There has to be some bridge that helps them kind of integrate back into the business world.
And I also think that this is where the mentor is very important, because when I talk to people who have kids, they help me to think, yes, you are sane. Yes, you're going to make it through. Yes, you will be able to do it. Because if you were to think about some of the people who might have a child, and maybe the child has challenging disabilities or whatever the case may be, if you have a support system, you'll make it through. If you don't, then you're going to feel
as if. It's that much harder.
Absolutely.
So, Denise, now let's be honest. You stacked the deck on this gig. You guys have worked before. Tell us a little bit about that history.
So I think I've talked about Cool Girls in the past as being an organization, another organization that's very near and dear to my heart. And interestingly, I started on the board of Cool Girls. I guess it's now coming up. I'm in my second year now. But Sandy, I knew because Cool Girls was also involved with Girls Get IT, because we always want to make sure that all girls have access and opportunities to the programming that we offer. So Sandy and one of our former executive directors and I, we all connected, and I just sort of stayed involved with Cool Girls through their time with sending girls to our programs. We also, actually through our charitable giving with the Women in Technology Foundation, we do provide grants to other nonprofits, and Cool Girls has been a recipient for the past few years. So even though I've only been on the board for 2 years, I've been involved with the organization for probably 4.5-5 years, and Sandy and I have met and just became fast friends and just realized that we both have a heart for service, have a heart for community. But then we realized that we were living in London at the same time, which
like
is
parallel
just,
lives.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. We probably were on the tube together at some point and didn't realize it. So
even with that advantage of knowing, trusting each other, so you, a little bit of a known quantity, I have to imagine, Sandy, or at least for me, it would have to be nerve-wracking to just walk in that first day. You're the new grand poobah. There's a lot of expectation there. Can you just describe that feeling, that environment. And if you have any counsel to offer other people who find themselves in that situation, it, you know, very exciting, but I got to believe nerve-wracking too. Yeah.
Well, it's probably great to come into something where you're known, and so you at least have a few people that you know.
Yeah.
And it was very similar to Cool Girls because I was board president. I was board chair at the time, and I had just moved back from London, and I decided not to move to Chicago. And it was like the perfect scenario when I said yes, I would do, you know, be the executive director. So once we were, you know, talking about my stepping down, and I ended up sitting next to Denise at a football game, and she said, would you consider, and I said, you know, I'm moving on and planning on probably going back to the corporate world. And she said, would you consider, you know, another nonprofit? We're just in the midst of talking about this. And so it's been great to come in and have some known quantities, right, you know, in terms of people who are at least aware of who you are and what you bring to the table. And so it has been interesting to reach out and connect with all the new board members, because these are some pretty innovative women. Yeah. And that's a fantastic thing. So I used to think that, you know, Denise might have been my only fantastic, innovative technology woman. And then now I've met
a whole pile.
Now
of them,
I've
right?
met quite a few. But that's a great thing, because I feel like we've got to really exploit the talent they're bringing to the table as well. If we were to look at the connectivity that the board of directors has, either from the WIT Inc. side or the WIT Foundation side, we're talking about some pretty impressive women in terms of what they are doing in the business community. And so it's been, I'm not one to really get too unnerved about much, but it's been a great investment of my time to something that I really care about. And so I'm really marrying, you know, what I've done from the corporate side versus the nonprofit side to a great, I mean, we have a great opportunity to change the direction of right. how companies hire in Atlanta in the technology and STEM field. And so it's a great opportunity for me. So I'm really excited.
And it's kind of a big responsibility, too, because you can make a big impact. Your efforts are going to make a big impact in the, you know, in the lives of these women and girls and the city itself. I mean, technology is one of the main drivers of the economy here now. So,
mm-hmm. Well, it's in a lot of lives. I mean, yeah, the city, the state, the country, all that stuff. But, I mean, also just individual families. I'm a father of two girls, one of whom is really interested in the graphics field. Well, there's a heavy layer of technology
Absolutely.
That could mm-hmm. be, mm-hmm. and that would really open up so many opportunities. Plus, that's why I really resonate with the idea that this is so important across the board. I want both Katie and Kelly to have those role models and see what all can be accomplished and have an opportunity to, you know, to interact with those types of people. So I know that you guys have to see the big picture and work strategically, but I just want you not to lose sight of the fact that every Katie and every Kelly, that, I mean, that means a heck of a lot to the, mm-hmm. you know, to the father of two. I was, too, also thinking earlier in the conversation, the one thing that never kept me up at night and was never a problem for me was being picked on for being the smart kid.
you're another problem.
We all have our own bag of hammers. That really just never was a problem for me.
So now, Cindy, is there anything that you're most excited about this coming year?
So this coming year, we have so many exciting things happening, but probably the two big ones would be the rebrand and basically bringing WIT and the WIT logo, which I think has been around for about 15 years, bringing all of that into view for us to say what works, what's going to be the long-term strategy for us. And so we've gone through quite a bit of conversation around that. And so that project is pretty exciting because it helps us to say, if we're going to reach 50-50 by 2020, here's how we're going to brand and market across Atlanta. The second would be the Change in Careers in Action, where we're going to have a partnership with Emory University. We're still getting the details together, and we'll unveil it probably in the next week or so. But that will be also a really good certified program that allows women to really get some great, great training.
And if I can chime in, I hear Jackie Brider's voice in my head saying Emory Continuing Education.
Absolutely.
Jackie is the CIO at Goizueta Business School, and she's one of our board members. Uh-huh. And so she always, every time I say Emory, it's just, you want to just say Emory University, but I had to interject there.
So you'll see something coming between Women in Technology and the Emory continuing education side.
Now, is that an important component to it? Is not just directing high school kids into college, but some technical, vocational, or, you know, a different path?
Well, I would say it's probably more around the development of the women who are currently in the technology field. We do have some great partnerships, and so there's a lot that we're still working on for the Girls Get IT and the WIT on campus relating to coding, different ways that we're going to really bring the technology platform to women to learn. Like, for example, I'm in a HTML training course to learn how to design websites, and I'm wanting to learn it so that I can basically share with others. And so these are all the things that we're getting in place, but at the same time, that's going to help us build on the technology field, but we're still needing to develop those women so that they're staying in it for the long haul.
But is there any initiatives that are, I mean, we're interviewing a lot of people here that, like, what's it called, the Iron Yard,
mm-hmm.
where it's, yeah, you know, you can take a 12-week class and be a coder in 12 weeks. It's super intensive. You know, it's not a college class. It's just like a private thing. But they have like 100% job placement because, you know, companies are desperate for people who know how to code.
Right.
You know, is there anything that kind of, here's maybe somebody who went to high school, didn't go to college. Are there things that you're helping them kind of plug into technology?
So we're starting to develop some really cool partnerships. So with a couple of organizations, one is Kids for Coding. Mm-hmm. Their center is actually in Roswell, and they're just amazing. Denise Dedemore and Anne-Marie Leeds are the co-founders. And they're teaching kids as young as second grade. 3D animation, computer animation, wow. Design, coding at various levels. And so we actually had a conversation with them recently around just what you mentioned, that every kid is not going to go to college, right? And with the cost of getting a college education skyrocketing, it's becoming unfortunately out of reach for so many people. But with technology, especially with the coding space, right? You can introduce a kid to the basic skills of coding, get them some certifications once they graduate from high school, and connect them with mentors in companies that can actually give them a job.
Right, because the company doesn't care.
Absolutely.
I don't care what school you went to. If you can fix my broadcasting software.
If you have mastery in this,
absolutely.
What do I care?
And that becomes a game changer for so many, right? It just becomes a way to just change the trajectory of their own lives and the lives of their families.
Right.
And we also are starting a partnership with Girl Develop It. They're recently, they're a national organization that has just moved into Atlanta within the last year or so. And we are starting to work with them and publicize the coding classes that they offer for women 18 and up. And these are, you know, 6 weeks, 4 to 6 week classes that do intro to HTML and CSS, JavaScript, Java, the gambit. But, and there's a lot of women that are going through that, through those courses that are doing a career change, or they just are interested in coding. But then through going through these classes, they suddenly realize, oh, wait, I'm good at this.
Right, I
like
can do
it.
This.
And I can either do it on the side for extra money for myself, building websites or doing some remote coding for folks, or I can do a complete career change. So there's a number of partnerships that we're developing that will really help to get everyone involved in technology in some capacity, irrespective of your education level or even where you might be working today. There's an opportunity for you.
And it's like you were saying, Sandy, you're taking this class kind of on the side, and these classes are available all over the place.
We'll get you a good job, Sandy. Hang in there. Yeah.
We're well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, slow down.
You can do
slow
an
down.
Internship and fix our website.
No, I didn't. It was an amicable agreement. There was no stealing involved.
Oh, that's funny. All right, so do we have some fun events coming up like in the next month, 6 weeks that we need to know about and stay on top of?
Absolutely. So one of them is coming up next week. So every month we have our monthly networking or our monthly forums, and it's a great networking opportunity. But this year we're really focusing on what we're calling STEMonomics, right? So being able to demonstrate the impact that STEM is having having on the community here in Atlanta and across the state of Georgia. And so we will have our monthly forum. Our first forum of the year is next Wednesday morning at 7:30. We will feed you. There's really good breakfast there too. It's at the Westin Perimeter. Starts at 7:30 with networking and breakfast. And then the session usually kicks off at 8 a.m. and we go till about 9:30, but it's a great way to get connected to the organization and to learn more about WIT. And you can go to our website, www.mywit.org, to register and get all of the details. But the two folks that I wanted to highlight, the actual topic is conversations about the economic impact of STEM in Georgia's communities. Allison Eman is the executive director of Venture Atlanta. So if you're wanting to start a business, if you're looking for funding, she's probably one of the folks that you want to talk to, and she'll be one of our speakers. And David Belle Isle, the mayor of Alpharetta, will also be there. Alpharetta has some of the largest concentration of technology companies in the country, not just here in the region. So he will also be there talking about the impact that STEM has had on the economy. And then our moderator is a fellow board member, Danielle Joyner McPherson from JBN Consulting.
And then it's mywit.org is the website?
That's correct. Yes.
And then they can go there, and if they... Do they have to be a member to attend this?
Or no,
is this
a good
introductory?
It's a great introduction.
You don't have to be a woman either.
No, absolutely. What? That's
a
great point.
There's a lot that
males great point.
Can do that are genuinely committed to this.
Men want to come and network, right? Especially guys that are in my field that are trying to sell somebody something. We get a lot of men that come and they recognize that either one of their clients or potential clients will be there. And so they often will come to attend, but end up learning a whole lot in the process as well. But the good thing about WIT is that we don't have members as such, right? So if you want to come to one of our events, you can absolutely sign up to do so. So the charge for the forums is $35. So you can pay that online. You can also register on site. Obviously, it's easier if you do it ahead of time. But you can, if you're interested in any of our events, you can absolutely register and show up, and we'll take good care of you.
Now, if you've never been to one of these events before, can you let somebody know and they kind of walk you around?
Yes, we actually give you a banner. We give you a ribbon, rather, on your badge that says first time attendee, so that we can take extra special care of you.
That's great.
Yeah, so definitely.
Because some people get intimidated. They've never been to an event. They don't know what's the protocol.
Absolutely. And it can be daunting, right? It's 7:30 in the morning, and I'm always amazed at the number of people that show up at 7:30 in the morning because, I will, in full disclosure, those times that I'm not on stage and moderating, it's usually closer to 8 for me that I'm getting there. But the folks that turn up and they're enthusiastic and they're excited, and I'm always amazed. We usually run about 150 plus women and men that come to our forums every month. So it's pretty
impressive. So this is a monthly rhythm.
It is. Month? It's every third Wednesday of the month.
In the morning?
It's always
in the morning.
There.
Yes.
Import products?
You guys are like, what is this? Like,
excited.
Exactly. So,
I love bacon and sausage.
It's always at the Westin Perimeter. We just re-upped with them. They've been a great partner. Yes, there is bacon and sausage and eggs. And sometimes we get fancy and you get grits or oatmeal or something too. Yeah. So, it's usually pretty good.
So you can, if you go to mywit.org, then you can get all the information?
Absolutely. And that's got our full calendar of all of our events. You can also follow us on Twitter at WITATL. We're also on Facebook. We've got a LinkedIn group. And I think we recently started on Instagram, I think. Maybe. Is that in my head? I'm looking at our marketing person saying yes.
I can turn her mic back and we can rig her up.
So
you're
everywhere. We're everywhere. We are very social media savvy.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having
us. Well, it was great to have you back. And Sandy, welcome to the circus.
Well, thank you very much. And I really look forward to seeing you both. Or actually, I look forward to seeing all three of you forum event next Wednesday.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. For Stone Payton, we will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.